Hey everyone, this is Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church. I didn't do a video last week because I got sick and lost my voice for part of the week. Still kind of trying to regain that, but I wanted to try to get a video done here early this week and hopefully try to do one later in the week to make up for the one that I missed last week. In the last vlog, vlog number 3, we talked about the attitude of the Reformers toward the original text, and that was part 1. Today I want to kind of talk about part 2. In the first one, the last one, we went over the views of two Reformed dogmaticians towards the original text. And remember that a dogmatician is just a word used in theology to describe those theologians that were defending the Protestant statements of faith against Catholic opposition. We looked at the works of John Owen. And then we also looked at the works of Francis Turdurin and what they had to say about the original text. Today what I'd like to do is talk about some of the Lutherans and what they had to say about the original text. So these are some of the Lutheran dogmaticians and what they had to say regarding the original text. The first one is the first statement is written by a guy named Gerhard, and he lived from 1582 until 1637. And he says the following. He says, "We say that this Greek codex, which we are now reading in the church," so he's referring to the Textus Receptus, this is the Greek codex he's referring to, okay, "is the very same one which the Greek church used at the time of Jerome and all the way back to the days of the apostles. It is true, genuine, faithful, and contaminated by no fault of falsehood, as a continual reading of all Greek fathers shows very clearly." So he is saying that the text that he has available to him and that he's reading from is the same one that answers all the way back to the original Greek church fathers. Okay, so he does not think that he needs to have the, quote, original autographs in order to have access to the Word of God. Remember, we went over in the last video the difference between the autographs, those first originals written by the apostles and prophets, and the apographs, those copies that have existed through time and history that we have access to today. These statements that these Lutheran dogmaticians in this video are referring to are to those copies. Okay, so there's a few books that I'm using here to prepare the video. There's another Lutheran dogmatician by the name of Quantant, I think is how you say it, and he lived from 1617 to 1688, okay? And he said the following regarding the copies that he had available to him. He says, quote, "Our argument runs as follows. Every holy scripture which existed at the time of Paul was inspired, 2 Timothy 3:16, and authentic. Not the autographic, for they had perished long before, but the apographic writings which existed at the time of Paul." So he's saying that the copies of the Old Testament that Paul had available to him at the time that he writes 2 Timothy, he does not have access to the originals of those. He has copies. And what this author is saying, what this Lutheran dogmatician is saying, is that those are inspired, that those copies carry the original inspiration of the original autographs themselves. And he goes on to say, "Therefore, the apographic scripture also is inspired and authentic. God, not the hand of Moses, gave authenticity to the Pentateuch. For although inspiration and divine authority inherited originally in the autographia, these attributes belong to the apographs by virtue of their derivation, since they were faithfully transcribed from them, so that they not only give the sense, but also the words were precisely the same." Folks, here's another Lutheran dogmatician who is saying that the copies available are not only inspired, but they're also authentic. Okay, so this is contrary to this idea that exists today in evangelical Christianity that you have to have the original autographs in order to have something that's inspired and authentic. The Reformers did not believe this. That was not a position that they held, as quote after quote is demonstrating. Okay, and other Lutheran dogmaticians are two guys named Bayer and Menensis. And these guys lived from 1647 to 1695 and from 1613 to 1681. Okay? Bayer, following Menensis, states the following and maintains that the autographia can rightly be called inspired because they possess the same... I'm sorry, I messed that up. Let me start over. I apologize. That the autograph can rightly be called inspired since they possess the same form or content as the autographic scripture. All the autograph have been either immediately or immediately copied from the autographs. Hence today, in spite of the many codices extant with their material variations, the meaning or the inspired sense of the autographia is still with us. Again, this idea is running contrary to what most theologians have to say about this matter today. Okay, another Lutheran dogmatician is a guy named Holtz, and he lived from 1648 to 1713, and he said the following. He asserts that the very words as well as the content of the autographic text are today in the autograph. A good copy of an inspired writing is inspired like the original writing. So they do not think that they have to have the autographs in order to have access to inspiration. Holtz also used an analogy. Okay, he uses the analogy of an imperial edict. He says it is reliable and authoritative, and in the case of Scripture, as inspired as the original, is valid. So he's saying the same thing that I just said. So the Lutheran dogmaticians are referring to real existing things that they can hold in their hands, that they have access to, as something that they can make reference to. Another quote from one of these gentlemen says, he says, the controversy, therefore, centered not so much around the question of the integrity of the Greek and Hebrew scripture as around the question of whether the original Greek and Hebrew writings or the Latin Vulgate was authentic. So these guys are fighting these battles at a time when the Roman Catholic Church is asserting that the Latin Vulgate is authentic, and they're arguing for the authenticity of the Greek copies manifested in print by the Textus Receptus. He goes on to say, we believe, as is our duty, that the providential care of God has always watched over the original and the primitive texts of the canonical scriptures in such a way that we can be certain that the sacred codices which we now have in our hands are those which existed at the time of Jerome and Augustine, nay, at the time of Christ himself and his apostles. This is the Lutheran position in a nutshell. So in a nutshell, the Lutheran dogmaticians, as well as the Reformed dogmaticians that we saw last week, maintain the idea that the copies that are available to them are inspired, that they carry the inspiration of the original, that they are authentic, that they don't report any information that's false, and by them and through them, the church had access to the text that was in existence at the time of Christ and the apostles themselves. They don't say anything about needing the originals. They don't say anything about needing the originals in the Westminster Confession of Faith, the Savoy Declaration, the Philadelphia Baptist Confession, or the London Baptist Confession. None of them use that language to describe what they had available to them and what they think is needed in order to have access to the Word of God. It just wasn't the case. So Protestant Articles of Faith, what started this little series was that exchange with that one person who said, well, I hold to the Protestant Articles of Faith. And I said, which ones? The ones before 1860 or the ones after 1860? There's a growing pile of historical evidence to suggest that the Reformers, Lutheran and Reformed, the dogmaticians that were responsible for crafting those dogmatic statements of faith and doctrinal statements of the early Protestant movement, did not believe that they had to have access to the original, and they believed that what they had in their hands, through the copies, through the codice available to them in print, the Textus Receptus, was the inspired Word of God, and that they did not need to go back and reconstruct anything. And they believed that this text was accessible to people throughout the history of the dispensation of grace. In the next video, we'll talk about some other things related to this. We might look at some of their views regarding textual criticism. And then ultimately, we want to look at where did the idea that the originals only, where did this idea come from? Who introduced it into the thought stream? Because it certainly was not an idea of this generation of Protestant reformers. Thanks for your time.